we'll turn to an item that was on our agenda a couple of months ago, and we literally ran out of time at the meeting. So we're happy to have them back early in the schedule today so that we don't get at risk. And that's the Heritage Trust item.
Okay. Good morning, Chair Imason, State Forester Doherty, members of the board. For the record, my name is Liz Dent, and I serve as the State Forest Division Chief. Today, we would like to take a few minutes to focus on the work of our nonprofit partner, the Tillamook Forest Heritage Trust. So joining me at the table this morning are Ross Holloway, the Executive Director of the Trust, and Nels Gabbert, who is the Chair of our Board of Trustees. And I think I'd just like to start by saying that we really appreciate that Ross and Nels could join us today, especially as Tom mentioned, given how things went with the previously designated time. So thank you for being here as we discuss what the Trust does and particularly the valuable work that we rely on. So first of all, before getting started, a little bit of history of how and why the Trust was formed. In 1991, the Oregon Legislature passed House Bill 2501, calling for the development of a recreation management plan for the Tillamook State Forest and the creation of an interpretive center for the forest. The subsequent plan was developed and adopted by the Board of Forestry and created the modern-day recreation, education, and interpretation programs that we have for state forests. A key centerpiece of the programs is the Tillamook Forest Center, which many of you have visited, and it's located on the Wilson River Highway in the heart of the Tillamook State Forest. As planning for the future center at the time moved from the conceptual stage to an actual project, it became clear that we needed a nonprofit partnership to lead our fundraising and development efforts. So in 1991, the Tillamook Forest Heritage Trust was formed as a supporting nonprofit to the Oregon Department of Forestry. As our nonprofit partner, the Trust provides critical fundraising and friend-raising support to our recreation, education, and interpretation programs. It's a unique supporting relationship that enables us to tap into financial resources. Peter referenced that this morning, that would otherwise not be available to us. It also brings a wide array of new partners into the conversation about state forests and the benefits that the forests provide to Oregonians. So with that, I'll turn it over to Ross and Nels to provide more detail on the history of the organization and the work that it has undertaken on behalf of the agency.
Thank you, Liz. And good morning. Ross Holloway, Executive Director, Chair Imason, board members, thank you for making time on the agenda. What we're going to do is more briefly cover some of the background and activities of the Trust that were scheduled at the last meeting, and then focus a little bit on the Salmon Berry Project, just what's happening there and an update on that. And so with that, talk briefly about our mission, inspiring Oregonians to learn about and enjoy the many benefits of their state forests. So the Trust was originally created, as Liz indicated, as an outgrowth of that Tillamook State Forest Comprehensive Recreation Plan and the projects that evolved out of that. But in recent years, we've broadened our scope to more broadly support the recreation, education, interpretation on all state forests. So that's something that we're doing to kind of expand our support of agency programs and the division. We have a fairly large board of trustees. It's grown some in recent years, largely as a result of picking up the Salmon Berry Project, which I'll talk about later. Probably a number of familiar names on there for folks. Jerry Eckstein, our treasurer, has been with the board since the start, so we have some continuity there, and others have been on for varying lengths of times. We also have a liaison from the Department of Parks and Recreation, Dennis Wiley, and that's because of the close relationship we have with them, both at the Forest Center and now on the Salmon Berry Project. Some achievements over the years, some things we've done, and then I'll focus on some projects that are ongoing. But we were the entity that carried out the fundraising and development for the initial capital campaign for the Tillamook Forest Center. So that was a successful effort that secured about $10 million in public and private funding for the construction of that center. And we celebrated the grand opening of that center in April 2006. So we're in our 12th year of operation up there. And again, we're the nonprofit arm. The agency, you know, owns and staffs that center. Some other things that we've done since the center opened is we've continued to support education interpretive programs, mostly by providing materials or granting funds to do so. For a couple of different seasons when budgets were particularly tight, we shared resources with the agency to pay for seasonal staff at the center, so to maintain that complement. Because as you can imagine, as budgets rise and fall, the visitation at the center does not change. In fact, it's been fairly steadily increasing in recent years. We administer a forest education grant program, which we've done for several years now, which grants funds to local educators for developing programs specific to the Tillamook State Forest. So there have been a number of different groups have received grants to do that, including a grant we made to OFRI several years ago, essentially to train the trainer for teachers, so teachers could come out and learn how to take advantage of the curricula at the Forest Center and be able to put their programs on there themselves without staff support, which has expanded our ability to host classes there. We funded a project a few years ago to look at the exhibits in the center at the 10-year point and see what needed updating. Did identify a few things, and I'll focus on one of them in a minute that was a major project that grew out of that. We had our 10-year anniversary two summers ago in the 2016 season, so the trust provided a number of supporting elements for that. And we've also been supporting an effort a successful effort actually, to designate a new scenic byway in Oregon, the Wilson River Highway, called the Trees to Seas Scenic Byway. And that has actually been completed. So we were successful in helping the department accomplish that. I mentioned earlier the Salmonberry. So in 2012, the trust was approached by what was then an ad hoc group of agencies and entities developing the Salmonberry Trail Project who were interested in having a nonprofit entity join them with the anticipation of a fundraising and development effort. We agreed to do that, and subsequently the Salmonberry Trail Intergovernmental Agency was formed about 2 years later and is actually now the group that we support and participate with to advance that project. The other program we've added along the way, which is kind of relates to our expansion of state forest support, is the State Forest Recreation Fund, which was created in memory of Wayne Nalon, who some of you may know, was a longtime volunteer and advocate for public recreation and volunteered on the Tillamook for many years. And so that fund was established in 2016 with a generous grant from a longtime friend of Wayne's, and have raised about $60,000 total in that fund, which will be granted back to the agency for specific projects over time. So the center has been really our big piece of business, obviously. Over 600,000 visitors since it opened, and that includes about 60,000 students from Washington, mostly from Washington and Tillamook County schools, but some from a little farther afield. And that, again, the visitation has been increasing. And we've raised about $1 million over that 12-year period to support the center. And the bulk of that is for a project that I'll highlight in a minute. And then the Salmonberry Trail. We've been directly raised about $500,000 through grants and donations to support that project. And in addition, there's been a lot of other contributions and grants. There's about $2 million plus into that project at this point for planning and development. Last year, we spent some time with our board early in the year and developed a strategic plan, which is one of the attachments that you should have in your packet. Really narrowed in on four focus areas for the trust in the current biennium: outdoor recreation in the Salmonberry, and I'll talk a little bit more about those. Education interpretation program support, which I'll highlight a couple elements of, and then also some housekeeping or business issues, if you will, organizational and board development, and our financial management systems and processes as our businesses become more complex. and we've taken on more items. So just a couple of things to maybe highlight on, and I'll go into more detail on the salmon berry at the end of my presentation. But that's been a big piece of business, is our nonprofit support to the Salmon Berry Trail Intergovernmental Agency, which ODF co-chairs with the Oregon Department of Parks and Recreation. So Peter and Lisa Assumption are the co-chairs of that. And a variety of fundraising and development work we do on behalf of that project and to support it. Also in the outdoor recreation arena, I mentioned the State Forest Recreation Fund, and we did develop earlier this year and have out there some marketing materials for that, rack cards, and also posters that are at all of the recreational facilities on state forest land in Northwest Oregon, actually, at this point. So those are out there to publicize the fund and seek donations to it. The big project has been in the education interpretation arena, and that's the education pavilion project. And so actually, I think Megan gave you the handouts there. You'll notice actually in your handouts that the photo in your handout is a little older than this one. This one was from Sunday afternoon, so I plugged it into the presentation. The project is still being finalized, although getting all the windows in was the evolution from the photo you have to this photo. So that we had a grand opening for that on June 22nd, which we didn't quite have it finished, but that was okay because it was still a pretty neat looking building. And this is adding about 1,500 to 2,000 feet of space. Closed space to the center, and any of you that have been there will note there's not a lot of meeting room space in that building, and it's been real constraining with some of the larger school groups that are there. So we raised about $500,000 for this project from a variety of private and public sources, and the trust board has also contributed another close to $300,000 from funds that it had available through investment management over the years. So beautiful building, and would be a great place for the board to see on a coming field tour, maybe next summer. And we're looking forward to starting to host classes there this fall. So that's been our big effort. Touch real briefly, I mentioned the scenic byway earlier. So that's the management plan for that has been approved by the ODOT Commission and the Tourism Commission. So we're in the phase of implementation, and the local visitors associations are in the lead on that with the additional signage to promote that corridor where we are the primary tourist attraction, if you will, at the Tillamook Forest Center. So we're hoping that'll increase our visitation. And I won't go into the details on these, you have them, but essentially, again, focusing on some organization and development issues to try to expand our capacity to better serve the agency and to better support the Salmon Berry Trail project. And similarly, our financial management systems, as we get into larger and larger grant applications with larger and larger foundations, there's a need just to make sure we have the systems in place to provide the financial information required. So with that, I'll move to part two, which is what originally was to be the focus of our July visit with the board, and that's the Salmon Berry Trail. Again, as a reminder, perhaps, this is an 84-mile rail with trail or rail to trail in some sections project between Banks and Tillamook, and it's the old, well, it had three owners over the year. It was originally a Pacific Railway and Navigation Line built in the early 1900s, and then it was a Southern Pacific, and now Port of Tillamook Bay owns that corridor, and the rail line is not operating the freight service anymore because of the damage in the Salmon Berry Canyon there in Section B. And we have been working with them in a large group to turn that into a future recreational trail. And so some of the things that the trust has done in that regard are we applied for and acquired a grant from Tillamook County to do more detailed segment planning. And so you saw the four segments there, that in the coastal segment is a key one along the coast from Tillamook up to Wheeler. And we received a $100,000 grant from Tillamook County, which funded the more detailed segment planning that's required to figure out exactly where the route would be and what the engineering requirements are going to be for that. So that occurred in the summer of, started in 2016 and wrapped up in early 2017. So that's been completed. We also applied for and acquired a matching fund grant from Travel Oregon to develop a strategic marketing plan. And so I just kind of included a snapshot there of a key matrix that's in there that really lays out what's the story of this project, what are its potential benefits, what audiences do we need to communicate with to share that information. So that was completed in 2017 and is now being used to help guide our communications on the project. Another grant we received was from the National Rails to Trails Conservancy. And this one was focused primarily on conducting a benefits study. So we were able to enter an agreement with the Center for Public Service at Portland State University to do this work. This work just actually wrapped up about a month ago, so occurred over the winter and into the spring, and at least provided some kind of high-level estimates of potential economic benefits from the trail. So as an overall estimate, this would be when the trail is complete and actually connects from Banks to Tillamook, about $20 million in annual economic benefits. Based on a use level, which some of us think may be a little conservative, of $266,000 per year. So that's about 2.5 times what the Banks Vernonia Trail gets. So the real wild card there is the coastal segment and how heavily that would be used if it's constructed. $45 million in direct spending in local communities and local vendors, essentially. So the bigger number there is kind of the macroeconomic, and the smaller number is really that local benefits piece. And the other thing they looked at was healthcare and health benefits. And while those are harder to quantify, they found some significant potential there, particularly focused on residents close to the trail and based on other trail information nationwide, the increased fitness and activity they see when a resource like this is available to local residents. One more to project support to talk about, then I'll move on to some other topics. So we're doing our second segment plan right now, and that's the Valley segment. It's close to wrapping up. And that was funded through a grant from the Washington County Visitors Association. So Tillamook County and Washington County, respectively, have really stepped up to fund the segment planning, both using transit lodging tax revenues. So the Valley segment plan is happening right now. It's a couple shots there of what that area looks like. And we're actually doing some field trips this summer, take interested folks out to look at those. So we encourage you to consider that if you're interested in seeing the project on the ground. So where are we headed? I've shared this particular graphic a couple times. I think I included it the last time we visited with the board about the project. We're really kind of wrapping up pieces of phase two with the segment planning. We've got a couple more segments to do, the canyon and the Halem. The rail banking has been completed, which is a process to secure the corridor, if you will. And actually a lease has been entered into between the Samovary Trail Intergovernmental Agency and the Port of Tillamook Bay. So STIA, as we call them, as acronyms, now has the authority to actually do development in the corridor. And there are some things happening in that regard that I'll talk about before I wrap up here. So we're moving into project implementation, and that's a big phase. It's probably going to go on for multiple decades, unless some giant wad of money appears out of nowhere, which, of course, we know is not likely. A couple things that are happening, though. City of Tillamook actually is about done with the building what is really going to be the western end of the trail, and that's connecting two city parks in Tillamook. That was done as an opportunistic thing in conjunction with a major ODOT project that's going on right in the city of Tillamook, where Highway 6 and 101 come together. So the STIA board is actually going to take a look at that project on August 3rd when they meet in Tillamook. But it's pretty exciting that the city has picked that up and built essentially the first almost mile of trail. And they're also doing the planning to connect that up 101 to the cheese factory where it will come back and join the actual rail corridor. So that's happening. There's a couple photos. So they've actually built a new pedestrian bridge over Highway 6 where the railroad crosses in Tillamook and to facilitate that access. The other project that's about to start is what we're calling the Manning Trailhead Catalyst Project, thanks to, again, to Washington County Visitors Association, Travel Oregon, and the Parks Department. For those of you familiar with the Banks-Fernonia Trail, that is the Manning Trailhead just off Highway 26 in western Washington County. The two rail lines, the former Banks-Fernonia and the current Salmonberry, actually are parallel from Banks to that point, and then they diverge there. So it would be a dual trailhead, and we're about tripling the size of and capacity of that trailhead with a project that's going to break ground this fall. So that's pretty cool that that's happening. And then the other thing that's on the horizon is there's the Manning Trailhead in the lower right of the graphic. The first big project we're hoping to raise funds for and proceed with in the Valley segment is the Banks-Fernonia loop. So build the first 3.5 miles or so of the Salmonberry Trail and a connector trail in Stubbs Stewart Park that then creates about an 8.5-9 mile loop from the Manning Trailhead. So that I think that'll be a pretty exciting project. And it's possible we'll start out as a gravel surface. So the gravel riders will really like that rather than the full paved like Banks-Fernonia is. So those are some projects that are getting ready to occur. I just kind of threw this in so you'd have it as a reference. A lot of things going on, some done on that chart, benefits study, some things underway, and as well some of the things we're looking at into the future as the project continues to move along. And so with that, I think I'm gonna close. I would offer, Nels, if you had an opportunity to provide any comments about, in particular about the Salmonberry or the broader role of the trust.
Thanks, Ross. And thank you, Chairman Imason, and all of the board members for giving us a little time today to talk about this project. You know, it's I'm often reminded as I work on this project to not to confuse a clear vision with a short distance. This is a complicated, wonderful project that involves a number of communities and a number of constituents, a number of agencies. And so a challenge with this project is that we'll all face is keeping the right velocity about what's possible and when. While the enthusiasm builds for what we're trying to do. And so that's important for those of us who are involved at the trust, raising funds and building momentum in the community of enthusiasm and excitement for what this trail might mean in the long run as it's completed. The last project you may have noted that we talked about, that loop for Banks and Vernonia as a catalyst project. And the reason we call it a catalyst project is we feel like as we build these bits and pieces as we go along, people will become intrigued with the possibilities for the trail and will continue to build that critical mass of support in the community for its use. And so you're going to see a series of these kinds of smaller projects roll out to continue to fund the momentum of the project. And an important part of that momentum is attracting a new type of user, a different type of user. And so we've been very careful in thinking about who those new users are and what they might look like and how they might relate to the forests and in new and different ways than we have historically thought about these kinds of facilities. And that's part of our careful, deliberate effort there. I think that because of the fire in the gorge last year, I think that the use of the facilities, the campgrounds and the trails, I may have this number a little bit wrong, is up over 40% this year in the Tillamook Forest. So folks that are not able to enjoy the gorge have moved over in our direction. So already we're feeling pressure and enthusiasm for people to get out into the Tillamook Forest and to enjoy it. And that same pressure is going to be felt as we continue to talk about this trail and what it might mean. And again, balancing that, building that enthusiasm to raise funds to get it done, and yet modifying that enthusiasm around where we really are in terms of the order of magnitude of what we're up against to build out the 80 plus miles of trail. And so that's the balance that we're managing. Our relationship with the department is critical to us, and we've appreciated the support and the engagement that we've enjoyed. We're the trust itself's in a transition as we grow to step up to a larger set of activities and change our staffing and some of the things that we've gone or add to our staffing, not change our staffing. At the same time, I think the department is thinking about the most productive way to interact with the trust and the center as it continues to manage its changes and the manage our relationship effectively for both sides. I'm excited that we're finishing up the Education Pavilion so we can bring more young students to the center and keep them out of the rain while they're waiting for the educational opportunities that can be afforded there. It is a great building, and it's going to have a significant impact on an important audience target for those of us that are involved in the trust. And we're really trying to reinforce and redefine the kinds of users that are coming to the Tillamook Forest and expand at the same time the existing services that we have going. And it's an exciting process, I think, for both the agency and for us to be involved in that kind of thinking around a project of this magnitude. And so we're just going to continue to take relatively bite-sized chunks. The next big one will be that loop that Ross was mentioning, that we're going to build that trailhead come October of this year, and then really kick off a capital campaign to raise the money to build that 20-mile loop as an initial effort, even as the folks down in Tillamook are closing up on that very first trail segment across town. So again, thank you very much for your support and engagement on this, and we look forward to more.
Well, and thank you for your leadership on the volunteer side of this effort. It's really important and it's impressive. And I've had some opportunity over the last couple of years to become more acquainted with what's going on, and specifically around Salmonberry. And it's an incredible opportunity. But I think your approach is the right one with these steps that where we keep on moving on, but building towards something that's potentially much greater. So I really appreciate that. And I'd be glad to hear your comments about the departmental role and the cooperation that's occurring there. I think that's also really important. Of course, Ross, having been here for a long period of time, too, before taking this current role, has been really helpful in facilitating that, too.
And he actually works for us.
Yes.
So it's been a partnership, but I'd ask Liz to briefly describe. I mentioned the restructuring of our workforce, and could you highlight how that's going to help us interact with the Tillamook Forest Heritage Trust?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple thoughts. One is I want to reiterate, Tom, what you said to make sure that we recognize the Board of Trustees as a volunteer group, and I think everyone here at the table understands what that means. So definitely want to recognize that. They're a forward-thinking group, and it's their really it's their vision and leadership that's going to play a critical role in the piece we've been talking about in Peter's opening comments. It's going to take, you know, sort of more than one trick to help State Forest get sustainable and financially viable. The trust is a really important part of that solution in terms of building partnerships, and Ross highlighted the many, many grants that Ross has personally been responsible for bringing to the efforts there. But yeah, going to the Workforce Futuring Project that Peter talked about during that reorganization process, one of the outcomes was a decision to unify our recreation staff under one manager. So right now, those recreation folks are scattered around in different districts, making decisions at that district level. Obviously, they collaborate with each other through some leadership team processes, but by unifying them under one manager, we anticipate being able to be more strategic in our decision-making and anticipating and responding to public expectations. So the manager's a new position, and then we've also added a position that's going to focus on public outreach and partnership development. And so it's really these two positions that's going to help leverage our relationship with the trust and help us again kind of move the ball down the court a little bit on greater sustainability for these programs that provide really important public benefits to Oregonians and currently are funded through the sale of timber. And the benefits that are currently being brought in with the trust and OPRD to help support some of that work as well. So I don't want to overlook that. So I do want to make the point that, and reiterating that why we really are fortunate to have the trust as a partner to help the division and the agency achieve our goals, and really recognize that they're serving Oregonians at a large scale with a fairly nimble group. So.
Questions?
Yeah, Ross, some quick questions for you.
Sure.
In terms of the students visiting, is that what age groups are primarily using it, and what type of curriculum?
Yeah, good question, Nils, board members. So actually, it's K through 12 with probably a heavy focus on the kind of the maybe third through sixth grade where they actually have curriculum requirements. The curricula used at the Forest Center was developed in partnership with the Oregon Natural Resources Education Group that's based out of Corvallis in Oregon State. And so all the curriculum that's used there meets state standards for specific requirements that teachers have. And so they're able to take a package and actually meet a requirement that they have to meet in the classroom. So in the topics range from forestry to watersheds and aquatics, wildlife, the whole gamut of things. But pretty heavily in that middle group in that third to sixth grade for numbers of students. Well, the on rep group, as it's known, that outdoor education group, that is the network for sharing. And so most of the folks that participate in that, which includes watershed councils and forestry organizations, OFRI and others, they share and coordinate amongst themselves. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't programs going on out there that kind of aren't represented there or part of that. But that's been in place for a number of years, and it's a great foundation for an expanded outdoor education opportunity that is coming, right, with the new funding that's there, or the new mandates up there, I guess. I'm not sure they provided new funding, but they provided a new mandate through the ballot measure. So, yeah, we hope to be part of that, actually.
You can keep going. Sure.
Well, you referenced in your comments the desire to attract and engage
Good that's a great question. And, you know, I think if you look at historically, however far back you want to look, around trail design and facility design, there may be an operative bias around particular kinds of uses, a dedicated campfire, some benches, a place for a tent. And I think Dennis and others at the state parks have really helped us challenge that concept what we want to provide potential users. Not too long ago, the notion of a gravel ride was not in the popular vocabulary. What is a gravel rider looking for in that kind of experience is an example. So what we've done is we've sort of created four imaginary kinds of personas or users for the trail. And thought about different kinds of requirements that they might have for the kinds of facilities that we're going to try to provide. And so one of the things that we've been encouraged in some of our grant applications by a number of the foundations are explicit pieces on equity as part of our thinking for the trail development. And the effort at Portland State was an initial effort towards thinking about economic benefits, and we're trying to raise some dollars to do an equity study to encourage new users or users that haven't thought about experiences in the forest or have thought about it but have been reluctant because of a lack of experience or concerns about what they might encounter, to think about how to ameliorate that concern. So that's really what I was, there's been some great recent work thinking about that. And we hope to utilize that in thinking about that as we design and think about the benefit of this trail. But the rock's in our pocket to really think aggressively and thoughtfully about that as we design it. And so it's an exciting part, I think, of what we're doing. And we're cutting new ground there. I may have mentioned a book I read or been reading called, for instance, Black Faces, White Spaces. That was a PhD dissertation turned into a book talking about some of those kinds of issues. And so it's a learning opportunity for all of us as we try to build a trail that can attract and provide recreational opportunities to the ever-growing diverse community that we want to serve.
Other questions, comments? Yeah, there is an action item. Action that the staff has recommended. Okay, it is that the board endorse the focus areas, goals, objectives, and actions described in the Tillamook Forest Heritage Trust Strategic Action Plan. Motion to adopt that recommendation.
So move.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? And all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Motion carries. Thanks again very much.